Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
This is Bill Campbell. We're glad you're with us this morning. As we focus on this topic, healing or hoax, has there been a time you've heard about a divine healing and you've wondered, was that real? You read about Jesus in the Bible walking the earth and touching and healing all who come to him by faith, and you wonder, can he do it today or not? Well, this is the topic we delve into with someone who's given his life to this whole focus, Reverend John Rice. He's a Southeast Regional Director of the Order of St. Luke. This is the healing ministry of the Episcopal Church, and John's involved in a national and Southeast Regional and local level. And so, John, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
And we have also in the studio an extra voice, Linda Ander. And Linda is involved with the Vital Connection. She helps often arranging programs and speakers. Linda, it's good to have you in the mic this morning.
Thank you. Good to be here with you, Bill.
And Linda, actually, one reason I pulled Linda in, she actually heard John speak recently. And you should know, listener, as you listen now to John, I encourage you to listen this whole hour. Get to know John and his ministry, because he's coming around the corner in April 13th on a Saturday, and he'll be doing a healing seminar called A Day of Exploring Healing Prayer. You won't want to miss it, especially as you get to know John here on the air. Linda was at a recent event, a speaking conference, a healing ministry event, and she was very touched by what happened there. So I want her voice to be part of this. Is a testimony to the ministry. But there may be a ministry that happens even as you listen. John, can you start off by just telling us a little about yourself? How did you find interest in healing ministry?
Well, as I was preparing this morning, looking over some of my notes, that I was reminded that it was 24 years ago last week where I felt God's call to healing ministry, and it happened on that week up in northern Vermont. I was getting ready to be ordained as an Episcopal priest. Mm-hmm. And I got a phone call from my sister back in Ohio saying that our mother was hospitalized and seriously ill with a diagnosis of leukemia. That literally began a journey beginning with, Jesus, do you still heal today? And I truthfully did not know the answer to that question. So when I flew back to Columbus, Ohio, and we gathered around our mother and in the hospital room, and we all prayed, for healing. But in the Episcopal Church, as in other churches, there is what we call the sacrament of healing, where not only do we expect, but we experience the presence of the Lord to be working in that. And I remember I withheld the sacrament of healing from my own mother. And so I knew I was in trouble. And I was looking at, why did I do that, that struggle? As a newly ordained priest in the church, I was gifted, authorized to do that. And I was pleading ignorance, because at seminary there's so little training in the mainline denominations about healing.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. And so as you and I were talking earlier before we began the program, how important listening is in terms of ministry, it certainly is important in healing prayer. As I was flying back to Vermont, I had this prayer conversation with the Lord. And I was pleading ignorance with the Lord about withholding the sacrament. And I literally, in my awareness, the thought came, don't kid yourself, John. It's not ignorance that caused you to not pray in this certain way. And I said, okay, Lord, what is it? You have to be careful when you ask that question, because so often the Lord is willing to bring truth into that. And said, the reason that you withheld the sacrament of healing was fear, your own fear. And that fear, if you prayed, if you administered the sacrament and your mother didn't get better, where would I be? And so in that, how fear takes the focus off the person who really needs the attention and onto self.
Yes.
And that was part of it. And then just very quickly, the Lord then provided wonderful mentors for me to learn about healing prayer, still asking the question, Jesus, do you still heal today? Because I felt my mother's life was at stake.
Wow. And
so that began a 24-year journey.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Linda, what about you? How did you find interest in the idea of healing, healing ministry, any of that?
Well, it's been several years ago, actually, when I was working at a Christian television station in Dallas, Texas, where I'm originally from. I myself, for a personal testimony, had a severe problem with my back. And one morning I came into work after lying in bed at home for 2 or 3 days. And on the third or fourth day, I was determined to get to work, to go to work. I wanted the Lord to heal me. They did have a healing ministry at the station. Like I said, it was a Christian television station. When I came in, the manager came to me and said, Linda, would you like us to pray for you? And I said, oh, yes. So they based their prayers on James 5:14, where it says, call together the elders of the church, and if any sin, if you've committed any sin, that will be forgiven you and you will be healed. So he called together all the department heads and prayed in the manager's office, and I was sitting in a recliner, and I was just in so much pain. I mean, I had driving the car into work. It was in the winter time. It was cold. I could not even reach out my hand to turn on the heater to stretch my arm. That's how badly it hurt. And evidently it was a slip disc, which I didn't know at the time. But getting back to the healing, I was sitting in a recliner. They all prayed for me. They anointed me with oil and realized this is my first experience with anything of that nature. I had heard about other healings, but this was my first time that it happened to me. At the end of their prayer, I heard a little voice saying, Linda, have faith, bend over, and you will be healed. At that moment, I didn't hesitate. I didn't question. I just bent over in the chair, and I felt my back pop, like the disc pop back into place just instantly. And, of course, I jumped up out of the chair shouting and really praising the Lord. And I've been so grateful for that knowledge since then that Jesus does heal today. He wants to heal. I think many of us lack the faith or knowledge of healing. So that's why we're here today. We want everyone to hear that and build their faith that healing is possible, that God wants to heal us, and he can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and prayers of our friends and Christian friends among us.
Now, if you're listening in, I want to welcome you also to call in. The number here is 828-693-WHKP. You may wish to share a story of how you were healed, or maybe how you were not. You may have a question or a concern. You may be struggling with this topic very deeply. In fact, I'd like, just as a segue for a minute, to think about objections. And here's a common one. If God doesn't always heal, then maybe he doesn't heal at all. It's all a hoax. In other words, let me turn it around and ask you, John, do you believe God always heals? And if not, why not? There are probably some listeners who prayed for healing, didn't find it, and they've got a lot of doubts.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to be sure to say to folks is that the thing I would hope that they would hear during this hour, at least for me, is that when we pray, Jesus always shows up. Just always shows up. And so when we pray, something always happens. In my experience, what we want to have happen, let's say if it's physical healing with the people that we love and care for, of course we want them to be deeply restored. And I've seen people healed instantly. I've seen people healed over a period of time. I have seen people whose physical illness was not healed at all. But in the midst of that, when their body did not receive physical healing, in talking with them almost to a person, they would say that that encountering of Jesus in the prayer was healing of a deep spiritual nature.
Amen. And that's what matters first and foremost, isn't it? The deep inner touch of the Lord's love and His healing grace.
Right. And that's one of the blessings, I think, that healing prayer ministry offers to God's people. Earlier you mentioned about the Order of St. Luke being an Episcopal healing ministry. It started out Episcopal in the 30s, but in the 1950s it became ecumenical very quickly. And it was one of the reasons I was drawn to the Order of St. Luke, because just a few weeks ago, for example, I was leading a healing mission up in Burnsville, North Carolina. We had as many Baptists and Methodists as we did Episcopal and Anglican and non-denomination. So it's a ministry where you can experience one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Mm. And it is blessed, I think, because of that.
Thank you for clarifying that. And I think that's really important for people to know. God has blessed the Episcopal Church to help launch this ministry, but it's for everybody. Right. Even if you're listening and you're not a church-type person, you don't go to church, this is for you. The conference coming up, again, that's right here in town. It'll be at St. James Episcopal Church on April 13th. That's a Saturday. This is for you. It's for all of us. When Jesus walked the earth, he didn't limit himself to the ones that were especially religious. In fact, some of those, we call them the Pharisees, and for good reason, that was a sect of people who helped keep the law. But he often rebuked them because they missed the point. It was him. That was the point. The love, the truth, the healing grace and power of Jesus Christ can be overlooked by someone religious or non-religious. And in this program, we're hoping you will tune in your heart, to what the Lord might have in store for you. So, Linda, you shared an example of being touched by healing. When you went to hear John speak, or you saw him at a previous conference, what did you see there? What was it like?
It was a weekend conference that was held at Lake Junaluska.
Mm-hmm.
So the setting was absolutely beautiful, and it was a refreshing time to get away.
Mm.
It started at noon on Friday and ended at noon on Sunday. And every day, night, morning, afternoon, evening, there was a different type of, I would say, focused prayer. One might be on spiritual healing, like mm-hmm. we talked about earlier. One could be emotional healing,
mm-hmm.
another physical healing. So it was really all-encompassing, and it really did touch me because, as those in the studio here know, I had a recent significant loss. And I was really still suffering from a broken heart, even though it had been actually about 12 months since my husband passed away, went on to glory. But I still had that broken heart because he was only 61. It was a very sudden occurrence. He became ill on a Tuesday, and Friday night he went on to be with the Lord. So, there was specific prayer on Saturday evening for people with broken hearts. And I sat there and I said, no, I'm not raising my hand. I'm not, you know, I'll let others be a part of this. I don't need this.
Mm.
Well, he kept praying specifically, you know, for broken hearts. And I said, oh, okay. So I got up and allowed someone, there are prayer facilitators that are there all the time to pray with you. You don't have to go down front or anything like that. There are prayer facilitators there. So I went to one of them, and there were two ladies, and they prayed the most beautiful prayers for healing for me. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I was as light as a feather. It was like the Lord had just lifted this tremendous weight on my, not only on my shoulders, but my whole body, my whole, you suffer greatly, your body suffers greatly from grief.
Mm.
So afterwards, he asked if anyone would like to testify. Well, man, I was the first one out of my seat. and that's not like me. and told the people how I was instantly healed from that broken heart, and that it was possible that God can heal emotions as well as physical or any other type of healing. So it really blessed me, and I would encourage those who may need healing, even though it's a little ways away. There will be, this is a yearly conference at Lake Junaluska, and it will come up again in September. So I'm sure later John will give his website, and you can keep up with that on his website.
Well, let's not do it later. John, what's your website?
Well, the regional website for the Southeast is oslregion3, the number 3.org. Okay. oslregion3.org.
Okay. And if you just Google Order of St. Luke, you're sure to come across it. And So, Linda, thank you for sharing a little bit about that. Now, to the listener, I say this. You may, if you're normal like the rest of us humans in a broken world, you may have some kind of brokenness in your heart, as Linda expressed, emotionally, physically, any kind. I didn't plan on this, but I want to say this, that if any of you wish to call in, we can even pray for you over the air today. Again,
absolutely.
It's 8-286-93-WHKP. Now, it's possible for people to use healing as a way to, you know, to get money or this or that. We're not into any of that. We're just wanting to be a help to people. And John, I thank you for coming in to share about your ministry. Let's go a little step further. People may be wondering, and this can help them in their own faith, have you actually seen people healed, you know, kind of the more dramatic? You know, Jesus sometimes did things that were dramatic to get people's attention. Does he still do it today, in your opinion?
Yeah, what we read in Scripture, those 26 stories of healing, Jesus was really good at this, right?
Yeah.
And that Jesus gave the same power and authority to his disciples, right, the 12. And they went out, and they came back tired, but they came back rejoicing. Mm. And then they empowered the 70 to go out. And down through the centuries into the present time, that same spirit that was healing in Jesus, Jesus gives to us. So, first of all, it's word. I don't see myself. I don't call myself a healer. Mm-hmm. That I'm a child of God. That the Lord, I believe, has some gifts of healing. But it's the Spirit that heals. The Spirit that works through us to bring wellness and wholeness, deep restoration to God's people. And I can remember back at when I was pastoring at Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Hayesville, a few miles west of here. We have two healing services a week, a noon service with Holy Eucharist on a Thursday, and then a Tuesday evening with what we call soaking prayer. Mm. It's the blending of holy silence and Holy Spirit. Mm. People who come just stay in their pews, and the we have a short worship service with singing and invitation to the Spirit to come, reflection on Scripture, and then confession, which I think readies us to receive more. And the prayer ministers just come and lay hands on the person as they're sitting in the pews, and they say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come and minister deeply." And that's all the prayer minister says. And so we have seen, people have told us, that they've experienced healing instantaneously. Mm. We had one lady who, as she was leaving, she was dancing because she had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And they had the x-ray show the tumors. And she said, "I know that the Lord has healed me at this service." And I said, well, Holly, be sure to go back to your doctor and get confirmation of that. Because that's so important.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned that, one of the other principles of healing prayer, as I understand it, is that God uses medicine, God uses good psychotherapy and counseling, mm-hmm. and God uses prayer. Mm-hmm. And where we have seen the most dynamic healing happening is where you get the best medical care that's available to you in Henderson County. Mm. And to that, you blend the best prayer care that is available.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's like pushing the old VHS tapes, you know, your VCRs, and push when you push it in forward, when you blend medicine and prayer, the healing increases. Mm. In fact, it goes into fast forward. And so I remember Ella, who came and said, I've had a headache for 5 days. This was after the worship service on a Sunday morning. And the lay people came around and laid hands on her. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they touched her, she said her headache was gone. Mm-hmm. And so it's the Spirit moving through those hands, the Spirit moving into Linda and healing her back. Mm-hmm. For a while at church, we, after our 8 o'clock service, a number of folks were used to coming up after the service and asking prayers for themselves, for family members, for friends. We had 4 men who had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And sometimes you have to be a little playful in the midst of all the serious illness. And so they dubbed themselves the Prostate Club. But every Sunday, and often at one of those midweek services, they would come for prayer. And that's one of the other things I want to encourage folks, is that frequency of prayer seems to be a key to healing through prayer. Just as a doctor would prescribe antibiotics for a 7-day or a 10-day regimen, you take those antibiotics on a regular, consistent basis. The same seems to be true for healing prayer, the frequency of prayer. In fact, most of the folks that work full-time in healing prayer ministry, they will say, and this has been my experience too, that about 20% of the healing they see is fairly instantaneous. So that leaves the 80% that they see that happens over a period of time. And one of the reasons why the frequency of prayer is so important.
That's very helpful, I think, for all of us, John, just getting a sense of this. And it sounds very balanced to me. You're not writing off medicine. You're saying God uses that too. He gave us, being made in His image, the ability to come up with these cures, and we should use what God's given us. But there are times when the great physician will just reach down and touch us. But the times that that's instantaneous, it's not all the time. And then again, your emphasis on healing inside as well as outside, not just the body, and the importance of the whole person. All that is wonderful. And that's what I love about the order of St. Luke. There is a good balance there. And it's something that we can understand as the average person on the street or the average Christian. You know, there are some in a branch of the church we call maybe charismatic. But what you're bringing out can be understood by not just the charismatic, but the average Methodist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Catholic or Lutheran or anybody.
Right. Some of the best teachers and mentors that the Lord has brought into along my journey with healing prayer have been from that Pentecostal evangelical stream of spirituality. And one of the things I believe that they profess is the immediacy of Christ and the power of the Spirit to transform lives. I saw this so much when I spent 3 years in Asheville working with residents of the Western Carolina Rescue Ministries. It's for the homeless folks in Asheville, but they have a residential program for men and women that are working to be set free from addictions. The residents, the program was about 6 months, now it's 12 months. Very evangelical, very Christian. But I can remember one time when, I don't remember her name, but what I do remember, she had a master's in counseling. And so addiction showed no partiality to us in terms of our education, our backgrounds. And I was teaching the 26 stories, the OSL, using the OSL material of Jesus' healing. And I said, boy, it's so good to be with you this morning at your rehab center. And let's call her Carol. And Carol said, please. Please, John, don't call this my rehab center. And I said, well, what do you call it? What do you want me to call it? And she said, this is my salvation center.
Wow.
Because this was the place where she was turning to Christ to bring healing and to set her free from those addictions. So the healing prayer is... it is lifted up and taught so much more, I believe, in those evangelical Pentecostal churches and groups. And the reason that I was there, I believe, was to give it maybe just a little bit more balance with that, because so many of these men and women, they were coming in, they would have these wonderful experiences of Jesus, and I would say the majority of them would get baptized, and they had this mountaintop Jesus experience, and they would just radiate with the love of God. And when they would come back to their base there at the rescue ministries, what they didn't realize is that they were still carrying all the garbage of their brokenness and woundedness in their past. Yes, they had been clean, they had been embraced the Lord, but they had not released all the garbage that they were carrying in their lives. It probably was at the source of their addictions. And so that's where the healing prayer and the healing the hurts of the past began to be very important for their continuing wellness and wholeness.
Listener, we're going to come right back after this one-minute break. We have with us Reverend John Rice. He's the regional director, and also he's the president of the National American Board of Directors for the Order of St. Luke. And so we hope you'll come back. And when we do, in 1 minute, I have a confession about a time that I really messed up on this whole topic of healing.
Have you ever wanted to read the entire Bible from cover to cover? Most Christians have, and you may even be among those who have attempted it. Yet only 10% of Christians have ever read the entire Bible. B90, or Bible in 90 Days, is a Bible reading program that can help you achieve this important goal for your life and for your spiritual development. By reading only 12 pages a day, you and your friends, your Bible study group, or even your entire church can read the Bible in 90 days. To find out more about B90, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com and click on B90, Bible in 90 Days. Read every word that God has spoken and shared with humanity. Check it out. That's B90 at scriptureawakening.com.
This is Bill Campbell. We have with us Dr. John Rice, or Reverend Rice, probably goes either way, an Episcopal priest for 23 years. He's led healing ministry in churches throughout Region 3 of Order of St. Luke, and that is the Southeast region. But he's also been all over the country and in other countries, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. I promised you I'd give you a confession. I have come to learn from when I was a young man that supernatural things can happen when we common, ordinary people honestly listen to the voice of God and obey. And I was going through some rather dramatic journeys I could unfold. I won't take time. It's not about me today. But when I would hear the voice of God, ministries were starting. Just amazing things were happening. And I had left where down inner city ministry was starting. I was driving home one day, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go around the corner here. You're going to pray for healing. I pull around the corner, and there's an ambulance, and they're bringing a stretcher out to go into the ambulance. And I felt the Lord saying, now go pray for this person. And I refused. I was scared out of my mind. I thought, if I get up and pray for this person, it will just be obvious that there is no God and I don't have any faith. Now, since then, I'll share the good news. I've been put in positions like that, and I've seen dramatic, miraculous events and healings occur. But I don't always understand God's ways. I just try to obey Him, and it's that simple in many ways. Hear and obey God, starting with their own lives. Be obedient to the Lord. Live a life of holiness and simplicity and humility, and God will use you. Well, John Rice has been used in many ways. And let's, John, come back to the story of your mother, because this is maybe a reminder to us about how God works in mysterious ways.
Sure, Bill. I mentioned as we went on the air that it was my mother's illness with leukemia that, you know, how God can draw something good out of the worst of situations. And so struggling with her illness and Jesus, do you still heal today? Will you heal my mother through medicine and prayer? It took about a year to understand, and the Lord sent wonderful mentors to me, a retired dentist and his wife, a Roman Catholic priest. But I began to understand through participating in healing hurts of my own past of how available, how real Jesus' love is. And so I was the chaplain for a junior high church camp in Burlington, Vermont. And the theme was on caretaking. I get a call from my sister Annie, said Mom is back in the hospital. She's running a fever of 105 and is has gone into a coma. You better get home quickly if you want to still see her while she's alive. I shared that with the group, 70-some kids, that evening. And I know I got a little teary-eyed in that sharing because I wasn't sure if I'd get home in time. And this is something I think important for our listeners, is that what I discovered amongst those junior high children, I would say at least 80-85% of them were carrying, were shouldering a heaviness. 80-85% of them had a family member or had a close friend who was suffering from cancer or had lost someone to cancer. And they didn't seem to have an outlet of where for that grief. And so we spent the next hour, literally, youth praying for youth, adults praying for youth, and even some youth praying for adults. And so just to know that our youth... with their age, we know that hurt and trauma and brokenness shows no partiality to age either. And so our young people are so often in as much need of healing prayer as the adults. And I would add to that is that our youth are some of the most powerful prayer ministers in the church. And I had one of our high school youth come to me when I was at St. James in Black Mountain, saying, could we be all part of a prayer team? And I thought, well, duh, how could I not see this? And it just didn't occur to me, and I think it was because of the bias I had for age. And so, of course you can, but we want you to go through the same training as we require for our adults. We honor your call to ministry by having you go through the same training. So back to Mom, I'm at the hospital room. I now know that Jesus heals today. There wasn't a doubt, and there still is not a doubt. The difference may be in terms of how Jesus wants to heal. That may line up with our heart's desire, or it may not. But I encourage people to pray their heart's desire, because God already knows that. Some people say, don't pray specifically, pray for God's will. And I think, yes, let's pray for God's will, but God knows our heart. So let's be free to pray what's in our heart. And for us, it was physical healing.
And that even brings healing. Talking honestly to God and saying, God, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is what I want. I mean, it's part of our own healing, isn't
it?
Our own
acceptance.
It's a way to put it all into God's hands. So, John, what you're saying, back to your mom, is that we're not, and you're not making a claim that every time we pray for someone, it's going to work out just the way we think it ought to work out, and maybe with healing every physical need. We're not meant to live in this earth forever, and not everything will be perfect, but rather it's the way God wants to work out if indeed we surrender.
Right.
And we can't second guess God.
Yeah, that is said so well, Bill, with that. And just to bring that story to a close, I'm back in Columbus. We're gathered around the hospital bed, the family and one or two close friends, and we pray. And I administer the sacrament of healing, anointing with oil, and a sign of the cross on the forehead. And said, Lord, I know that you desire and want to give my mother healing. Our heart's desires is that it would be physical. And I pray, but if there's a deeper need, whatever the healing that you have for her, because I know that you have deeper healing, we pray your will be done, and our heart's desire would be physical healing. I go back to the family home. My sister stays there. I really didn't expect to see her alive in the morning. It was just part of the reality of that. Annie calls at 6 o'clock in the morning. The doctors of medicine, they've done everything possible they know to do. Annie calls. She says, the fever's broken, Mom's awake, and she's asking for something to eat. Is that New Testament or what?
Wow.
And so Mom had another year. And this is one of the other little tidbits of healing prayer that I learned this from a seminarian. is that healing ministry is resurrection ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
Because healing prayer always brings us, just like resurrection, to a place of new life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Mom had a year of resurrection life. She had one more year.
Wow.
And she did some traveling. She testified to everybody. she shared her story and the reality of God's love. But I think she knew that she was on God's kind of borrowed time, because we realized when she died that she had written her own obituary. She had planned her own memorial service and sort of pastoral care for the family while she was still alive. And so that morning, when Annie called and said, Mom's fever is broken, she's awake asking for something to eat. You and I, we all know family situations where that phone call has been far different.
Mm-hmm.
That Mom or a sibling or a good friend, a spouse, didn't make it through the night. And that is part of the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that that would not want to be an obstacle, would not say, don't pray. Because Scripture says, bring everything to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen. Absolutely. Let's flip it around and say, if you don't pray for healing, you may later regret and say, why didn't I at least give this to God and ask Him for it to see what He might have done? Jesus said to His disciples, until now, you've asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive it. You know, get out there and ask it. Just Lord Ogilvie wrote a book titled, Ask Him Anything. Why not? One reason why not is we think, if God doesn't always do exactly what I say, then He must not be God. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus Himself came to His hometown in Nazareth and could do no miracle there because of their lack of faith. You know, it's not all about your faith, listener. If you're praying for someone, the other person's faith is part of a factor. And the Bible tells us that if someone has unconfessed sin, that may be a block. And there are implied a lot of other possible reasons that God may not heal, or He may delay a healing. He may be working on an inner healing first. And so why not ask God for great and bold and mighty things? Linda, if you don't mind my coming back, your precious husband, Jim, he was obviously, well, listeners don't know much about him, and so I say this, they don't know, he was a good friend of mine. He was beginning to mentor me. He was filling a need in my life, and I can't imagine what you're going through, knowing what an incredible man of God he was. Just out there, vibrant for the Lord, and suddenly he's taken home. We know he had the perfect healing. We know he's in glory, and he's not the one who needed that second, that inner healing. He was completely healed instantaneously.
Absolutely.
But tell us, do you regret the fact that in that last few days when you were surprised he's in the hospital, Lord takes him, do you regret having prayed for his healing?
You know, I had so many mixed emotions going through something like that. I prayed for his healing, but more than anything, knowing, and a lot of people don't know this, but he suffered with a lot of pain. He had been injured in a motor vehicle accident several years ago, and clinically half of his brain was supposedly dead, and they had proved that by the MRI, but he had retaught himself everything, how to walk, how to talk, how to read. But anyway, he was still in significant pain.
Mm-hmm.
So really, what I did is I really turned him over to the Lord. It was like, you know, of course I wanted him here, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to be selfish either, mm-hmm. you know. So shortly before he passed, I told him that he was free to go, that I, you know, loved him dearly, but, you know, I wanted what was best for him, and I knew that the perfect healing and being with the Lord was going to be the best, even though I could hardly stand the thought of living my life without him.
Mm.
You know, that was really my heart.
Yeah, it was the prayer of surrender.
Mm. Right.
And I found at times I will offer the prayer of surrender about a situation. My faith is like the grain of mustard seed. It's so small, mm-hmm. you almost can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I go ahead and ask, Lord, if it's your will, you know, do this. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes He'll step in and just perform a miracle. Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
often it doesn't go the way I hope for. But I know that I can trust God.
Right. Very briefly, I'll share one of the ways that I knew God was taking care of me. There was one Sunday morning, probably a few weeks after he passed, that I just could not get up and go to church and face people. So I turned on the TV and listened to a local minister. I won't tell any names because I haven't asked his permission to tell this story. But he was talking about the whys. He himself asking why. He had had a friend that was in his 40s that had passed suddenly. Mm. And he was standing at the head of his casket just asking God why. And all of a sudden he heard this small little voice, and he turned to look, and it was this gentleman's, the deceased person's mother, leaning over his casket and saying, "Son, we may never know what God was saving you from." Mm. And with his accident and everything, I thought that was just an answer for me, even though I'll never know till I see the Lord and he in heaven. Exactly what that was. I knew that was for me. I knew that that was a touch for me, that the Lord had allowed me to stay at home and listen to that message. And going into that very quickly, I know we want to talk about OSL's foreign efforts.
Yes.
One thing, and I guess this could be a segue, and I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah.
But many years ago, I learned that of the fact that missionaries in foreign countries were having much greater success in healing and different works of the Holy Spirit, mainly because the people in foreign countries were not raised with our religious hang-up, so to speak. They didn't doubt God's word. They had no reason. They were totally clear and able to receive. And because of that, I mean, they just instantly believed and they were healed. And it was because they didn't have all the hang-ups that we have here in the U.S. about religion, so to speak.
John, why don't you tell us, if you're just listening in now, if you just happen to be tuning in, we have with us John Rice, and that was Linda Anders speaking as well. And Linda is a program manager, we could say, to help with Vital Connection with this radio ministry. She heard John speak and helped bring him on, and we're glad she did. John is Regional Director of Order St. Luke. John, tell us about how this ministry has gone overseas. Give us a little focus, especially on India, if you don't mind.
Well, the Order of St. Luke is an international order of St. Luke the Physician. It's full title. It's been in Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Netherlands, the UK for some years. We were talking earlier, we keep coming back to listening, to the topic of listening, Bill, and how important that is in healing prayer ministry. And I kept feeling a nudge from the Spirit to talk with Bishop Probal Dutta, who's a bishop of the Diocese of Durgapur. Diocese is a geographical area in this situation, north of Calcutta, the northeast corner that goes up to the Bangladesh border. Our Diocese of Western North Carolina entered into a companion relationship with the Diocese of Durgapur. So when Bishop Dutta was in Asheville back in 2008, I had been resisting the nudge for 2 years. And finally, I decided it's time to go meet this gentleman and ask him if he would be interested in having a team come over that would train about healing prayer, because I didn't want to assume that they didn't have this already, because they're people of great prayer. And that led to a team of five of us going over in January of 2009. We developed a one-week curriculum to train their clergy. And right from the very start, the Spirit anointed it all. Dr. Mike Sapik, retired surgeon from Charleston, was on the team, and he gave a talk on physical healing. And at the end of the talk, you know, part of the rhythm of Jesus' ministry is that he would move from word to action, from teaching to praying. Yeah. And so we tried to incorporate that same rhythm. And so at the end of the teaching, Mike said, let's pray. Is there anyone here, anybody in the clergy, that would like to receive physical healing prayer? And it was obvious he was going to come up because this poor chap had his right jaw was just so swollen, and we could tell he was uncomfortable and in pain. He comes up and sits down, and so we start to pray for him as a demonstration. And the prayer, there's a sense of peace that's happening, and so we know we're on the kind of right pathway. And then one of our prayer ministers, who has a wonderful gift of discernment, she comes over, Kay comes over and says, John, you need to pray for the hook to be released. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and said, hook? What does that have to do? But you learn to be obedient. Mm-hmm. The Spirit does direct. And so I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, we pray in the power of your Spirit for whatever this hook is, that it be released. And as soon as I prayed that in Jesus' name, the clergyman looked at me and said, something popped. Something released. And what it was an infected insect bite. And there, what was left, or a sting probably, and there was a barb on that stinger. That was the hook. And he had been on antibiotics, and they weren't working for him. By the end of the week, you could hardly see where that injury had been. So God was very good at demonstrating what he wants to do. So that we went back the next 3 years training their lay people, their lay leaders. And two things, Bill, is that... One is that the people in this area of India are very gifted. They're wonderful, powerful prayer ministers. They've in October 14th of this past year, they formed the first three chapters of OSL in all of India. And that's part of the vision maybe for Hendersonville. We're thinking to start a chapter here. And that... the people are so hungry for this part of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Our very first healing services, which was outdoors, we had over 200, and it grew to 500. To 3 years later, they had 3,000 people. Wow. Coming for the healing services. And one of the great things that God is doing in healing prayer ministry is using it as an evangelism tool. Because over in that land, over half the people that are coming to these services are Hindu and Muslim. Mm-hmm. And with the Hindu people, they're both, they have this great spiritual seeking and desire. And when they encounter the reality of God's love is brought through Jesus, then all of a sudden God's got their attention. And I think he's using healing prayer ministry to draw God's people, no matter what their faith, what their belief is, back into relationship with the Lord.
Wow, that's powerful. I remember once I was in India, and I came up to preach in this upper room. This was in a back country area. Minister had already driven me on his little moped all over the place, visiting parishioners house to house. So I'm up in this room, and someone comes up. They had been walking, I think, a couple of days, dragging a sick person in, high with fever. And I thought, Lord, this is just, I am so spent, I'm so worn out, I can't even give a message. I don't want to pray for this guy, you know. I was complaining. And anyway, it came time to start speak, and I did. I wasn't talking about healing. But he got up, started dancing around, and he said, I'm healed. And then people formed a line for prayers. I'm sitting there praying for people. I'm not a healer, you know. And it's kind of what Linda's saying. You come to some of these other countries, it's their faith that makes a difference. I've seen this a lot. That's what you're describing, John. And if you're listening now, you're saying, I'm not a healer. That's what I've been saying all through my years. And John kind of said the same thing. He's not a healer. We're not talking about some unique faith-healing person. We're saying Jesus is the unique one. And he is available to heal, not always the way we expect, but he loves to work from inside out because he cares about us. He so loves us that he died for us. He is about healing. So listener, we hope that if you've been tuning in, you will do more than that. You'll come to this event. Again, April 13th on Saturday from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. This will be at St. James Episcopal Church. And you can simply call the church to get a brochure, to get registered. It will be from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. Just $25 includes your snacks and your lunch. St. James Episcopal Church here in Hendersonville, North Carolina. coming right up, right around the corner. John, is there anything else before we go off there that you'd like to tell people about, or a summary statement about the Ministry of Healing?
There is, Bill. One more thing that I want to share with folks is that in healing prayer ministry, for so many people, I know it's true for me, is that the reality of God's love and the immediacy of Jesus in our lives really began to, and healing ministry became a new reality for me, a new understanding, where Scripture, where Jesus says, I no longer call you servant. We're no longer servant and master, but friends. I still feel that healing ministry is a servant ministry, but in that, Jesus has become my friend. And I believe that happens with the Ministry of Healing Prayer. As folks that are called into that ministry, they will begin to experience Jesus not only as Lord and Master, but as brother and friend, if they haven't already. And what an amazing blessing that is to deepen our relationship with the Lord.
That is the heart of everything, isn't it? It's why we're here on this earth.
Right.
Linda, do you have a closing word for the audience?
The thing that keeps coming to my mind is obedience. Both on the person that the Lord prompts to pray for someone and on the person that needs to be prayed for. We go back to so many doubts, and of course we all have those, but it's so important to obey, if you possibly can, obey the Spirit and the prompting to be healed or in whatever area you need healing in. Because sometimes I know, you know, like me, God said, you know, go and get healing. I'd say, no, you know, I'm too embarrassed. I don't want to do that. But if I hadn't, you know, I don't think I've received that depth of healing that I received. So it's just trying to be obedient.
Yeah, just to confirm that, you know, I would definitely say that obedience is the doorway that opens us up to the Lord's blessings.
Amen.
You know, the obedience allows that to flow into our lives.
Well, again, we thank you, Reverend John Rice, for being with us, and Linda Ander, and listeners for being with us. We hope you'll join us next Monday from 10 to 11 as we look at Christmas through Middle Eastern eyes. We have with us next Monday Dr. Kenneth Bailey, author and lecturer in Middle Eastern New Testament studies. And the question I ask you as we listen and you'll get the answer is, do we have portions of Christmas story all wrong? Tune in next Monday and have a great week.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.